And we're holding on page 12 in Brachos, the paragraph labeled Shum Ein Bey, Shum Amud Beis. The Gemara discusses the point. Now, we had in the Mishnah three different opinions what the end of the time is for Kriyat Shema by night. We had Rebbe Eliezer until Sof HaShmorta HaRishona, which led us into the whole discussion of how many Ashmoras there are, three or four. Then we had the Chachamim until Hasos, and Rebbe Gamliel until Alois HaShafa. So the question is, the Gemara is bothered by, where are the Chachamim getting Chatzos from? Sof HaShmorta HaRishona, we understand. Rebbe Eliezer understands. It was Shachacha to mean as long as people are going to sleep. Anybody who's going to be going to sleep for the night is already asleep by the end of HaShmorta HaRishona. The Chachamim are holding, Rebbe Gamliel is holding that it was Shachacha means as long as people are normally asleep, and people are normally asleep until Alois HaShafa. Where are the Chachamim getting Chatzos from? So the Gemara says, it's not really that they're saying that that the deadline should be Chatzos. Rav Gamliel himself says in Mishnah, Kedei L'Hafa, because of Adam and Aveda. So the Gemara brings more detail about that, that the Chachamim wanted to prevent that a person is going to end up violating the mitzvah. So Tanya, Chachamim also siyag l'divrehem. The Chachamim made a fence around what they said, that you have to say Kriyat Shema by night. The reason why we're calling it Divrehem, by the way, first of all, we're talking about Davening Ma'ariv, which is all the three daily tefillos of Rabbanon. But there is actually an opinion later on in the Masechta, in the third parak, that says that Kriyat Shema itself is Dirabanan. So in any case, the Chachamim made a fence around that. You don't want that a person should be coming home from the field in the evening after a hard day's work. The Oymer, and he's going to say to himself, Eilach Levesi, let me go to my house first. But Oycho Kima Ve'eshta Kima, let me eat something a little bit, drink something a little bit, the Ishan Kima, I'll sleep a little bit, then I'll say Shema and Davin Shema Esrei. Meanwhile, he ends up getting caught up in sleep. The Nimtza Yoshin Kalalai, then he winds up sleeping the whole night and missing Shema and Maiviv. So rather, the Chachamim said, the right way to do is, Adam Bamin Asadu Ba'erev, when he comes home from the field in the evening, first thing, Nichnas Leveis HaKnesses, first thing he should do, before even he goes home, let him go to shul. Im Rogel Likreis, suppose he comes there, it's a little early, if not yet time for Ma'ariv, so if he's used to, if he's accustomed to reading Sukkim of Tanakh, if he's familiar with Tanakh Kodesh, then let him read those, let him, meanwhile, he's also getting the benefit that meanwhile he's sitting and doing Talmud Torah. If he's used to learning Mishnayos, Shona, then he learns Mishnayos. And then, Bekodah Kriyashma, Mishpalo, then he'll say Kriyashma, then he'll daven, Ba'oichol Pito, and then he'll eat his bread, then he'll eat his supper, Omavarech, and say a bracha. And that's the right way to do things, and that way he's getting in Shema, and Ma'ariv, and even a bonus of Talmud Torah if he gets there a few minutes early. By the way, what exactly the siyog is over here, a number of different Rishonim discuss different possibilities. Do we mean that the siyog is that the Chachamim said, instead of doing Kriyat Shema by Alois HaShachar, do it by Chatzos? Or is it even that the siyog is that they're saying that you should do Kriyat Shema as soon as possible in the evening? Because everybody agrees, of course, it's better to do it as soon as possible after Tzeis HaChavim. Or is the siyog also another possibility? Is the siyog is that they're telling him, don't eat dinner first, because in fact, a half hour before the time of Ma'ariv, you're not supposed to sit down to a Suda or any of various other things that you might get Nimshach in it and end up forgetting to daven Ma'ariv. A few different possibilities what the Siyog is. And the Gemara continues, Chola Oyrab, Divrei Chachamim, Chayev Nisa. Anybody who is over on what the Chachamim say is Chayev Nisa, Misa B'dei Shemayim, that is. So the Gemara asks, what about on that last line? Why is it we have many takonis of a chachamim throughout Shas? Why is it in general we don't say that a person who's over on it is chayiv misa? Or chayiv misa? Why all of a sudden does it say it over here? So two answers. Because here, more than with other things, a person is likely to have an onus that he falls asleep and ends up sleeping the whole night. So with other takonis de rabbanon, a person is less likely to be over on them in the first place. So therefore, we don't have to mention the serious consequence of chayiv misa. But when it comes to sleeping, a person is apt to think, I've had a hard day's work. All I want to do is nap a little bit. What do you want from me? So therefore, we stress to him that chayiv misa, so that should make him pay attention and actually stay up and daven ma'ariv like he's supposed to. Well, right, exactly,
So we're talking about Chatzos.
No, so we're talking about long before Chatzos. We're talking about when he first comes home in the evening. when he first leaves work in the evening, instead of first going home and having dinner and taking a nap and whatever, first thing he should do is go to shul and daven ma'ariv. Only after that will he have dinner and then go to sleep. The point is, so one answer why we're saying that if he's over on that, he's chayiv nisa, is because much more than with other dinim derabanan, he's more likely to accidentally be over on that by instead varying the order and going to sleep first, and then winds up sleeping the whole night and missing ma'ariv. And missing Krishna.
Also, the question, how come the
Rabbanan use Chatzos? No, well, so the question was why the Chacham using Chatzos, but the answer is you have in the Mishnah itself, because like this, if a person may figure, I have till past Chatzos, so then he's going to end up missing it altogether. He may, but now we're adding another dimension of it. That, again, one of the explanations of Mephoshim is that we're saying not only he shouldn't wait till anywhere near Chatzos, he should do it as soon as possible in the evening. That itself is the siyog. So he doesn't fall asleep, and he may think, I'll wake up before Chatzos, and meanwhile he's not, and he ends up sleeping past Chatzos and even past Alos HaShachar. Yeah. So that's one reason why we say Chayim Nisa.
But it's only if he's going straight on, but if he's continuing there, walk well up.
But Pashas, if he's continuing at work into the night, okay, then fine, he stays at that, and eventually, but the point is that at some he should still daven ma'ariv and say Krishna as early as possible, so that if he falls asleep, then he has missed it. The Borisema, the other reason why we have to stress over here, Chayiv Nisa, La'apukim imad de'omach, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, as opposed to the opinion, which we're going to have the famous story about it in the fourth paragraph of the Masechta, that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, so Kamash Volon Dechoiva, Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know that, or the Braisa, not Rabbi Yochanan, the Braisa wants you to know that it is actually a Choiva, you are actually required. Now, the Halacha is in fact that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, and that is in fact why we don't have Chazaras HaShatz by Ma'ariv, because there's nobody who's technically Chayiv in it. What's the whole reason for Chazaras HaShatz is to be Motzi, anybody who doesn't know how to daven. When it comes to Ma'ariv, there's no technical Chiyuv. Nevertheless, when the Braisa says over here, and the Gemara is saying Kamash Volon Dechoiva, so what it is Tosfos explains, even when we say Tfilas Arvis Rishus, doesn't mean you can just be Mevatel at Samazai, I'm lazy, I don't feel like davening tonight. It means when there's some more important thing going on, then you have a reason to say that maybe that would override Ma'ariv, but not some more important mitzvah or something, but not that you can stand be Mevatel at casually. So that's another reason why it has to stress Chayiv Nisa. Otherwise, a person could think, look, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, so what do you want from me? I don't need to daven in any way, leave me alone. And therefore, we're telling him that no, a person is overall Divrei Chachamim, Chayiv Nisa. Why taka do we have? Why are Divrei Chachamim in that sense more stringent than Divrei Torah? And in fact, we have other places where it says Chavivin Divrei Sofrim Yosim Divrei Torah. Why is all of that? So there's a few reasons. One of them, Rabbeinu Yonah on our Gemara explains, when a person is over on Divrei Torah, okay, it means he had a Yetzirah. But when a person is over on Divrei Chachamim, it may mean that he doesn't actually believe that they have the right to tell us what to do. That's a pretty serious offense that breaks down the whole fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. And therefore, that's more reason for him to be Chayiv Nisa. And there are various other reasons given why that should be. One interesting moshul that I think the Smichas Chachamim gives on it is he says, imagine, for example, if a nobleman or a minister or something, a high government official tells you to do something and you disobey, okay, you're going to be in trouble, but you're not necessarily dead on the spot. But if a soldier on patrol tells you to do something and you don't listen, chas v'shalom, that's the end. So the same way, like the Chachamim are, so to speak, like the soldiers guarding the fortress of the Torah, and therefore you have to be more careful to listen to them. The Gemara continues, Omamar, Kota Krishma Mispal. Now in the Braisa we mention that he says Shema and then he davens Shemana Esther. Now, Misayale, the Rav Yechanan, that order supports what Rav Yechanan says. The Amr of Yechanan, Ezehu ben Olam Abba, who is a ben Olam Abba, Zah son of Geula the Tefillah Shal Aris. This is a person who puts Geula right before the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. Meaning, in other words, exactly that. He says, Gal Yisrael, or the Gemara is going to say soon, Hashkivenu is considered an extension of that as well, and then right away Shemana Esrei. Meaning, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer, Tefillah Be'emtza Tikmun. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the Chachamim made the Takana, that all of the Shemana Esrays of the day should be sandwiched between Shema. So according to it now, everybody agrees that the brachas of Shema end with Gal Yisrael. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that the order is, in the morning you say Shema, with its brachas before and after, you end Gal Yisrael, and then you go into Shemana Esrei. Then, later on in the day, you have Shemana Esrei of Mincha. Later on in the day, comes nighttime, he says you have Shemana Esrei of Ma'ariv, and then you have Shema and its brachas. So according to Rabbi Shor ben Levi, you're not putting Geula next to Tefillah and Ma'ariv. Adrabba, you're davening first, and only then you're saying Shema with his brachas. So this way, the Shemana Esrei are in between the day's Tefillahs begin and end with Shema and its brachas. So now, Rabbi Yochanan wants you to know, not like that. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is telling you not, and the Braisa that says Kodesh Yishma Mispalel is going according to Rabbi Yochanan's Shitta and not Rabbi Yishor ben Levi. Now, what's so great about Soimach Geula? Now, first of all, everybody agrees that we Soimach Geula Tefillah by Shachris. What's the tremendous thing about doing it by Ma'ariv that makes a person a Ben Olam Abba? So again, there's a lot of different explanations. One of them is Rabbeinu Yonah says, the whole idea of the Geula? So what it was in the bracha Gar Yisrael, the whole bracha that begins Emes V'Yatzev or Emes V'Emuna, we're thanking Hashem for redeeming us from Golus. Now, what's the purpose of Hashem taking us out of Golus? Is it stand that a person should be able to sit Ishtachas Gachnei V'Tachas Teinasa? A person should just be able to sit back and relax? No, the idea is in order that we should serve the Eibishter. So when a person says Gar Yisrael and immediately goes into Shemana Esrei, standing before Hashem and praising Hashem and asking for his tzrachim and so forth, it demonstrates that he realizes what the purpose of Geula was in the first place. So therefore, so such a person who lives with that kind of mentality is a Ben Olam Haba. Bechlal, by the way, when we talk about a lot of times Ben Olam Haba, a Mufta Choloshe Ben Olam Haba, we have such expressions all over the place. I mean, ultimately, Kol Yisrael Yishem Chelik Olam Haba. But what it means is, in other words, that such a person is putting himself in a situation he doesn't have to first go through whatever a neshama might have to go through in order to be Zoycha Olam Haba. He's already on the level that he can go straight there. He's already living Olam Haba in this world, but it means, in other words, after 120, that his neshama will be able to go into Gan Eden without having to make any stopovers in other places first. So that's one idea of Geula, of Soimach Geula L'Tefillah. There's a bunch of places in Siddur where it talks about the idea. It's mentioned in the Siddur and Dach, it's mentioned in other places Soimach Geula L'Tefillah, they relate to the idea of Vayigash Elav Yehuda when Yehuda approaches Yosef. So Yehuda is Malchus, Yosef is Yisoid, and Soimach Geula L'Tefillah represents that you realize that Yisoid goes together with Malchus, which ultimately means that you're not leaving Elokus just someplace up there in Olam HaSel Yonim, and in Yisoid, you're actually bringing it down here to earth, into Malchus, into Mais of Apoyal, and in that sense, such a person is a Ben Olam Haba, when he taka lives his life in a way of bringing Elokus into the world. So now, the Michael Mifti, the Gemara says, okay, so what's the underlying machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishor ben Levi? Why does Rabbi Yishor ben Levi say that by Ma'ariv it's Shemana Esrei first and Shema after, and Rabbi Yochanan says the other way around? So the answer is, I can bring you a pasuk that each of them is basing themselves on, or I can bring you a svara. You can use a svara. Rabbi Yochanan says, after all, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Geula was already taking place at night. By night already, you had Makas Bechoras took place, and Pare is running out there in pajamas in the middle of the night and telling them, Kumutsumi Teichami. So in that sense, already in the nighttime, you had a certain degree of Geula. So the full-fledged Geula was only in the morning, because they didn't leave until the morning, but already by night, they were free to go, except that Moshe is telling Pare, look, we were told by Hashem, from Pare's point of view, he would have them go in the middle of the night already, so therefore we can say that there's already a degree of Geula there at nighttime. And therefore, that the Geula that we say by night, the Baruch Atah Hashem, Baal Yisrael, that we say by night, is just as important as the one by day. So therefore, just like it's important to have Geula before Tefillah in the morning, so it is also in the evening, says Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yishor ben Levi, Sava, Kim Balei Havi, Ela Mitzapra. On the other hand, Rabbi Yishor ben Levi says, the fact is, the actual Geula from Mitzrayim took place only in the morning. The fact is, they were still in Mitzrayim at night. Loi Havi Geula Mal Yisrael. So therefore, it can't really be considered a proper Geula such that it should be so important to put it straight before Shemana Esrei. That's why he says, so it doesn't matter, so therefore, by night, you can have it out of order. So that's a svara that they can use.
But is the head of the
Rabbi Yochanan was the head of the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in his times. Rabbi Shmuel Gaon tells us he was Rosh Yeshiva there for 80 years. So we have him all over Shas, and then the Yerushalmi in particular, even more than the Bavli, is based largely on his teachings to his Talmidim. But Rabbi Yishor ben Levi was also a tremendous tzaddik in that time, and we have many places in Shas. Yeah, so we have many places in Shas where he and Rabbi Yochanan argue. Yeah. We're going to have in a few days in Daf Yomi, Beis Hashem, we'll have on Wednesday, Beis Hashem, we'll have a fascinating story involving Rabbi Shimon Levi and people with Rassan. I mentioned it at the Kiddush on Shabbos. So.
If it was the same generation.
Yeah.
That means they got it from different
rabbis. Apparently they got it from different rabbis. It could also be, you could always ask the question, so what were they doing until now? So one possible answer is in different places, they had different minhagim. So now Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing which one is the primary minhag that we should establish for the whole Jewish people. So that's the svara. The boisem akra, or you could say they're basing themselves on psukim, or shneim mikra echad doshu. You can say both of them are darshening based on the same pasuk. The chtiv of a shach b'chol kum, or a shach b'chol kum echa. After all, the pasuk says you should say shema when you lie down in the night, or kum echa, and when you get up in the morning. So that means, in other words, we have a certain comparison between the kriya shema in the evening and the kriya shema in the day in the morning. What's the comparison? Rabbi Yochanan sava makas shchiva l'kima. Rabbi Yochanan says then, it means that we're making a hekesh between the Shema at night and the one by day. Ma kima kriya shema b'achachach tefillah. In the morning you say Shema and then tefillah, and that everybody agrees to, because in the morning you have to have geula samuch to tefillah, and geula means the bracha Goal Yisrael, which is the end of the bracha after Shema. So therefore, af shchevanami kriya shema b'achachach tefillah. Therefore, the implication is by night, it should also be first Shema and then tefillah. Now, of course, it wouldn't mean the pasuk is not actually telling us in so many words, because tefillah itself and the brachas of Shema only did rabbanan. But in other words, it would be an asmachta based on that. That we're showing that there's a certain comparison between the Shema in the morning and the Shema in the evening. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi says, "Mak shchiva l'kima." Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi says the comparison goes the other way around. Mak kima krishma v'achakach tefillah. So not the other way around, but let's consider. In when you get up, you first have krishma and then tefillah. So in other words, the tefillah is going to be so you start with Shema. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi says, "Mak shchiva l'kima." Mak kima krishma samach l'mitasei. When you get up and you say Shema in the morning, the Shema, you're saying as soon as possible after you get out of bed. The same thing he says in the evening, you should have Shema to be as close as possible to when you go into your bed. Therefore, the order would be Shema, Shemana Esrei in the morning, and the evening, Shemana Esrei, then Shema. So both of them are learning according to that from the same pasuk, but they're taking the comparison in different ways. Does it mean the comparison is Shema and then Shemana Esrei, or is the comparison that Shema should be as close as possible to your bed, to getting out of your bed or getting into your bed?
Does that mean someone from really, or mean going to shul?
No, it means, in other words, as close as possible. Like this, a person gets up in the morning. I mean, the truth is, later on in the Masechta, it talks about, you know, a person like this, for example, you know, a person has until later on in the Perek, it talks about a person has until 3 hours in the day to say Krishma, but nevertheless, the right thing to do is to say Kavasikin. So therefore, so later on in the Masechta, it describes cases where a person is lying in bed and he says Shema right there. So in order to be yotze before the ideal zman passes. But even if we're talking about saying in shul, the point is you have to realize that all psuka dezimra and everything is only a minhag that developed over later times. In the ikra din, the din of the gemara, really all you need is mostly shema and its brachas and shemana esrei. It's the reason why, for example, why we don't really have you don't even technically need a chazan by the omud until you get to birkas kriya shema. Up everything up until that point, the fact that you have a chaz and b'chlal is more a matter of minhag. So in principle, then you're rolling out of bed and then as soon as possible after that you're in shul and you're already saying shema. So the Gemara says Masiv Ma Brei Ravina. So Ma Brei Ravina says I have a contradiction to all this. You're telling me Rabbi Yochanan that you have to have geula samuch l'tefillah even by ma'ariv. Well, later on in the parak, we learn about the brachas of Shema, ba'erev mevorach shtayim l'choneh or shtayim l'achoneh. In the evening, by the nighttime Shema, you have two brachas before, tamari v'arovim and avas olam, and two after it, emes ve'emunah and hashkivenu. Rabbi Yamek, boy, listen, if you tell me you have to have gula close to tefillah, holoi kasamach gula to tefillah, then you don't have it close anyway. You have the brach hashkivenu in between. See, anyway, you don't have Gaal Yisrael comes right before Shemana Esrei. And the answer is Amri. So they answered, Kivin de Takinu Rabban and Hashkivenu. Once the Chachamim made a Takana to say the Brach Hashkivenu, Ki Geula Arich de Danya. Then it's considered like a long, extended Geula. Hashkivenu, in other words, is considered part of the idea of Geula as well. One interesting point about it, Rabbeinu Yonah says that the Brach, he says, the Gaal Yisrael was saying is about the Geula from Mitzrayim. Hashtivenu, he says, back then when they were in Mitzrayim on the night of Makas Bechoris, they had every reason to be worried. You know, like this, the Eibishter is saying, that Hashem won't allow the destroying angel into your house, but what if a person has to be nervous? What if I don't have enough schusim? So therefore, they were davening to Hashem at that time, let us please go to sleep in peace and wake up in peace and not have the Malach HaMavis strike us. And therefore, the Chachamim, now later on, when they established the actual Brachas of Shema, then they included that as a theme in the Brachas of Shema, and therefore it is considered Geula Arichta, because in fact it was part of the process of the experience of Geula that they went through at that time. Tosfos, by the way, mentions another point as well, which is, you know that in you look in Sidurim of Nusach Ashkenaz, you'll find that after Ashkibenu, they have a couple of paragraphs over there, Yiru Einenu V'Yismach Liv Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen V'Amen Yiru Einenu, and ending off with a bracha. So that isn't that also a problem? So Tosfos says again, once there's a so one possibility is once there's a takana to do that, then that also becomes Gegula Arishta. The other possibility Tosfos says is since you have Hashkivenu in there, then maybe even though we're saying you should have Geula before Tefillah and Ma'ariv, maybe it's not so essential. Maybe it's you should still do Rav Yochanan's order that you have Shema and it's Brachas and only then Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not so bad if you have something else in between. So therefore, you can have this Baruch Hashem La'olam and so forth. That is Negeya LaHalacha, not only as far as that. So we know in the Siddur we have printed by Friday night davening, we have the Shomru and Elam Moyadeh and the rest of that. It's not our minute to say it. There's the well-known thing that I've never put it in the Siddur only because Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchever insisted that he should. So out of respect for his mechutin, he did. Famous thing that Rav Levi says to him, don't you know that when they say the Shomru by night and there's a whole Yerid in Shemayim, and the Alter Rebbe says we can't be by all the Yeridim. But the halacha is because the Alter Rebbe holds strictly about this business of that you have to have Geula before Tefillah. So it's one thing we have a Kaddish in between, which we don't have in the daytime. Fine, that's again part of the Nusach of Davening. But Baruch Hashem La'olam, we're concerned about the possibility of Hefsik, because it's not a takana from the time of the Gemara. It's only a takana from the time of the Gaonim, because people would come late to shul and you want to give people time to catch up. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe left it out of the Siddur for the same reason he holds you don't say the Shomru and the other ones, and for the same reason when it comes on the Shchodesh or other times, instead of in Veltashit Tehillus, they call out Yalla V'Yavah or whatever. Instead, we give a bang on the table because otherwise you have the problem of Hesed.
What did he mean by those Yeridim? What's that all about?
A Yerid is a fair. So like a fair in those times would be like there'd be you think of like a state fair or a county fair or like an amusement park or whatever. You know, there's a huge amount of hullabaloo and interesting things to see and do and whatever. So the Blavik was saying that when we say the Shomru down here on earth, then there becomes a tremendous fair, a tremendous excitement in Shemayim.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen V'Amen, that they say in the belt. Yeah.
It's also,
so that's Tosfos gives two answers. One is that it's also considered part of Geula Arichta, and the other possibility is that by Ma'ariv, it's not so bad if you interrupt between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, given that you're already interrupting with Hashkivenu and a Kaddish anyway. The Alter Rebbe holds more according to the first Shita, which is why he left out Baruch Hashem La'olam, because otherwise it would be a problem of a Hefsek, and for that reason also we don't announce the Yalav Yalav. And for the same reason, yeah, so as far as the Shomru, so yeah, Rav Levi was saying, it becomes very Lebedik and Shemayim. And when they say it, but the Alter Rebbe said, okay, we can't be by all the Yeridim. A footnote to that, by the way, is fast forward to not long after the Friedrich Rebbe, and then a year later, the Rebbe came to America. So we know, and then it put in Tufshin Gimel, the Rebbe arranged first parade down Eastern Parkway. Later on, they were kaveh later for like Ba'omer, whenever like Ba'omer's on Sunday. But that first time, they had a parade of Jewish children down Eastern Parkway, passing by 770, Purim, Tufshin Gimel. The Friedrich Rebbe wasn't well enough to actually come out and speak or whatever, but he watched from the window of 770. So later on, he told the Rebbe, the Reb Levik had told the Alter Rebbe there was a tremendous Yerid in Shemayim, and the Alter Rebbe said, we can't be by all the Yeridim. In other words, so there was a Yerid, big deal. This Yerid, he said, the Alter Rebbe was here. Yeah.
Sure is it that if you say it's a Hefsek, but since they put it in there, it's not a Hefsek.
So that's the thing. Once the Chachamim made the Takana to say it, then it's not considered a Hefsek anymore, then it's considered an extension of the Bracha of Gal Yisrael, in effect. Yeah, but that's the thing. So once you have something, can be considered a hefsek. But you think about it, you have to say, yeah, you have the same thing as far as chatzitza. Sometimes a certain object, sometimes a certain thing on the skin can be considered a chatzitza. Sometimes not. Depends on the circumstances. So here, since the chachamim were masakin it, then we're saying it's not here. Yeah. Okay. So, in Chassidus, when it talks about this idea of Geula, of Seim of Geula Tefillah and Geula Arichta and Tefillah Arichta, so it makes the point also that on a deeper level, Geula Arichta means, like, so to speak, that we're saying that Geula is related to Malchus and Tefillah is related to Yesod. So it means like Malchus is being extended outward in order to receive in a bigger way from Zohar. So the Gemara continues. After all, if you're going to say that literally you can't have anything between Gal Yisrael and Shmonei Esrei, Shachlis taking what's a summit, then you have to ask in Shachlis also how you're putting them together. After all, before we start Shmonei Esrei itself, we say the Pasuk Hashem Sfaseh Tikta, all of a sudden we're Yulu Ratzin Imefi. So anyway, you don't have Gal Yisrael and straight after that the Brachos of Shmonei Esrei. Ella, so the answer is Hosim Kivin de Takinu Rabon Lomema Hashem Sfasetika. Once the Chachamim made the Takana to say that Pasuk Ketfila Arich the Dami, then it's considered like an extension of davening. That Pasuk Hashem Sfasetika is considered in effect a part of Shmoneh Esrei. Chachanami, the same thing over here. Kivin de Takinu Rabon Lomema Ashkidenu. Once the Chachamim made the Takana to say the Brach Ashkidenu to Gola Arich the Dami, so it's considered like an extension of the theme of Gola. The deeper idea behind why we say Hashem Sfase Tiftach, so there's actually, that pasuk is in Kapitel Nun Aleph, which a person says when they're 50 years old. So, the Rebbe gave a mimer, and the Rebbe delivered a mimer, Yud Aleph Nissen, Tavshin Yud Beis, when he himself turned 50, and the Dibra Maskel was this pasuk, Hashem Sfase Tiftach, and there the Rebbe explains the idea that when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, he's supposed to be in a state of total bittul to the Eivishtei. So he wouldn't even have the ability to open his mouth to even speak to Hashem at all. So he asked Hashem, Hashem, open up my mouth, open up my lips, ufi yagid tilasecha, that my mouth should be able to declare, and yagid literally means to draw down, tilasecha, your praise, because without that, I have such bittul that I wouldn't even be capable of saying anything. So therefore, now that was made, then it's considered an essential part of Shemana Esrei. By the way, you have also in the Velt, they have the Minna, if you look in Velt or Shisidurim, in Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim, you'll find that before Mincha, they have a pasuk that they say before Shemana Esrei, I think, Kishem Hashem Echor HaVol Godel HaLekeinu, or something. And the idea is, because by Mincha, there's no issue of Seimach Godel HaTfilah, there's no Bracha Gal Yisrael anyway, so there's no problem putting in something before. Why it's not on Minna to say it, I'm not sure, but maybe because we already have Hashem Sfaseh Tiftach, so that's a suitable enough introduction, I don't know. Okay. Talking more about things that come before davening. So we have by Mincha, then we say Ashrei before Shemana Esrei. So let's talk about that. Amar Rav Elazar bar Avina, or Amar Rav Avina, Kola Omer, later on we have another statement from Rav Elazar bar Avina, which is brought in, the Pashtus, because once the Gemara brought in one statement from him, that brings another. So it's Mistama, then over here it's supposed to also be bar Avina, which is how the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov had it. And the printed Gemara is, it's Amar Rav Avina. Anyway, Kola Omer, Tehila LeDavid, Shalosh Pamim, B'chol Yoim, a person who says the capital Tilul David, which is Ashrei, three times a day, he's guaranteed that he will be a Ben Olam Haba. So Rashi explains why three times after, because corresponding to the three tefillahs. Now we don't actually say it once in each of the three tefillahs, we say it twice in Shachris, and we say it once in Mincha. Why is that? Marashah explains, because the Chachamim wanted to associate it with Kedusha. We say in morning davening, we say Kedusha twice, once during the Brachas of Shema, and once during Chazar, and once during Chazar Shachat. And later on, we also, towards the end of Shachos, we say Kedusha again in Rol Tzion. So then the Chachamim set up that you should have, near each one of those Kedushas, you should have an Ashrei. He says, never mind the Kedusha in the Brachas of Shema, the Kedusha in Shemana Esrei, and then the Kedusha in Shemana Esrei of Mincha. So near each one of those, then you have an Ashrei someplace. In my review, you don't have Kedusha at all. So Muftach Leishu Ben El Mabah. Again, what's so great about, so Gemara first asks, my timer, what is so great about Tehillah David more than any other capital tiller? Ilema Mashem Dechtibbe Alpha or Da'asya Ba'alpha Beisa. Are you going to say, because it's arranged in Aleph Beis order, which is a tremendous thing, because among other things that represents that we're praising Hashem with every possible sound that the human mouth can make. Marashah explains it represents the letters of the Torah, so therefore it shows that we're connecting it with Limud HaTorah. Hakosev says over here that things that are arranged in order of aliphbeis represents the normal, the derech hateva, that the Eibishter runs the world. So therefore, by saying something in aliphbeis order, we recognize that Hashem runs the world. Well, if that's the case, lema ashrei simi derech to asri b'tzmani atni. Then instead of saying ashrei, we should be saying kapitul kuf yud tes, which has an eightfold, we should be saying kapitul kuf yud tes every day, which has an eightfold arrangement of the aliphbeis. Which Maharsha says then that would represent, if the 22 letters that we're saying over here represent the 22 letters of the Torah, then times 8 would represent that each one of those can have any of the 8 Nekudos. So therefore, so that would be all the more so showing our connection to Torah.
The Alter Rebbe says
on the last page of Tanya that we should say it every Shabbos. For my sake, you don't see people married to do that. It seems to have fallen away, yeah. A couple of years back, many people were saying Kapitul Kofi and Tess every day on account of the words of Rebbe's Kapitul. But yeah, anyway. So if the great thing about Ashrei is that's written in Aleph Bey's order, then Kapitul Kofi and Tess should be even greater. It's written in 8 times Aleph Bey's order. Is it because it has the very important pasuk in it that Hashem opened, that should we say to Hashem, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living creature? So that's a great thing. In other words, that we acknowledge that Hashem sustains every creature in the world. But in that case, lema halal agadol. In that case, why dafka Asher? Instead, we should say halal agadol, kapitul kuf lamed vav. Which we say Shabbos morning davening. We have the same expression of praise to Hashem over there also, that He gives food, that He gives food to all flesh. Ella, no, the reason is Mishum de Ispe Tauti. So Ashrei has both advantages. It's an Aleph Bey's order, which Kapitul Kuf Lamed Vav is not, and it contains praise for Hashem that He feeds everyone, which you don't have in Kuf Yud Tes. So therefore, Ashrei has the best of both, and therefore, when a person says it every day, then he's a Ben Olam Haba. Now, what's so great about that such a thing should make him a Ben Olam Haba? So Akosev has a long explanation over here. The gist of it is, he says that if you look in most Kapitlach Tilim, you find someplace or other, David is asking for something that he needs. He needs Hashem to save him from his enemies, or many kapitlach, or various other things. Ashrei, there's not a trace in there of asking Hashem for anything you need. All of it is praise for Hashem. So therefore, that's a tremendous thing when a person realizes that it's not just I need Hashem for my needs, but that I recognize that everything I have depends on Hashem. I don't even need to ask Hashem. Then that's a tremendous thing. So then we're saying, so what about Kapitul Kuf Yud Tes? We do have many times there where David is asking for things, but he's not asking for gashmiyistic needs. Everything he's asking for in Kapitul Kuf Yud Tes is Hashem, make me able to learn Torah better, make me able to be able to understand mitzvahs better. So isn't that a tremendous thing? But the answer is that nevertheless, it's lacking that point that a person recognizes that he depends on Hashem for his food, which is Peseachas Yodecha. So therefore, Ashrei has the best of both, that you're praising Hashem rather than asking Hashem for things. You're showing that you trust in Hashem to provide everything, including Peseachas Yodecha, and therefore, when a person lives with that kind of mentality, then it makes him a Ben Olam Haba.
How did Rabbi Elazar know this?
He learned from his rebbein, but ultimately, how does he know it? Is because soid Hashem lireyav. Hashem tells these kinds of secrets to the chachamim who fear him, and that such a person is a ben olam haba. But again, according to what Hakosev is saying, it's a logical thing. When a person lives with his whole life with that kind of mentality, it's not even that I recognize to recognize that I need to ask Hashem for my needs is a great enough thing in itself. But to go even beyond that, to say I don't even need to ask Hashem, because I have total betachin that the Eibishter will give me whatever I need, and expressing that specifically in the pasuk is a very high level of trust in the Eibishter, and such a person is undoubtedly a ben olam haba. A person who lives with that kind of approach to life.
So we have vices, and then we have mishnayos, and we have this Omer Rabbi.
And that's part of Torah, everything that we're learning over here is part of Chochmas Eretz Yisrael that was sent down through different Chachamim who analyzed what Hashem gave us and told and extracted details from it. And yeah. So if he's saying that such a person is a Ben Olam Haba, then we can take that to the bank. We know that, yes, such a person is a Ben Olam Haba. But again, the point is not just that person rattles off the words of Ashrei. The point is that he's thinking into what they mean and what they signify and tackle living as life with that kind of mentality. By the way, this is that we're saying that Pesach, this is that we're saying that the fact that we're saying Ashrei is primarily because of the pasuk Pesach Hasodecha, is why you have the halacha that if a person doesn't say that pasuk with kavana, then he has to say it over again. Now, the Alter Rebbe points out, it's one thing, for example, in principle, a person should have an olav davening with kavana. And let's say, for example, a person didn't have kavana in Shemoneh Esrei. In theory, he should daven over again. We don't do that in practice, because who says he's going to have any more kavana the second time than the first time? But the Alter Rebbe says, you're talking about one pasuk. Yes, you can be mechaven when you say it over again. So, yes, say it over again in that case. And that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So I think what it is if you're still in Ashrei, then you go back to the pasuk. Otherwise, if you've already finished Ashrei, then you just say the pasuk by itself. I believe that's how it is.
Ashrei is a shvach. You say talking about yourself or the bria in general.
You're talking in general that Hashem sustains everyone in the world. But our pasuk explains, in other words, that also by saying that pasuk, you're showing that you recognize for yourself that Hashem sustains every creature, including me. So that, in other words, I know that Hashem is going to provide me everything that I need.
Rich and poor, he sustains everybody.
Yeah, in fact, rich and poor. Since you mentioned that, thank you for mentioning that. Actually, slack. Gives an interesting explanation. He says, why Daphne is saying it three times? So he said, Rashi says it's associated with the three tefillas, and Marsha says it's associated with the three kedushas. The Tzlach actually says, and Tzlach, which is from the Node of Yehuda, says that's because you have three different, you have rich people, poor people, and average people. So each one of them recognizes in his own way that the Eidrish provides for him, and then he has nothing to worry about, nothing to complain about. I think if you remember after you passed Ashrei, then you just say the pasuk Pesach Hasodecha by itself where you remember.
And what if you're in the middle of Ashrei?
If you're in the middle of Ashrei and you realize, then you go back to the pasuk. Yeah.
It's the same thing. I'm not getting it.
If you're in the middle of Ashrei, if you're still in the middle of Ashrei, you reach Korav Hashem Lachol Korav, and you realize, you know what? I rattled off Pesach Hasodecha without thinking of it. Then you go back to Pesach Hasodecha, and then you continue from there. Tzadik Hashem Lachol Zeracham and Korav Hashem Lachol Korav. But if you only remember after you finished Ashrei and you're in the middle of Halalukah, Halalim Atrias Hashem, and you remember, then you say Pesach Hasodecha there when you remember.
Oh.
The Gemara says another thing about Ashrei. Amar Rav Yechon, name Malay Nemra Nun BaAshrei. Why is there no pasuk? We're saying that Ashrei is according to that order of the Aleph Beis, but there's one letter missing. There's no Nun over there. The reason is because the letter Nun represents the falling of Sone Yisrael, the Meloshin Nefila. Sone Yisrael is the Gemara's usual euphemism when we're talking about negative things for the Jewish people themselves. The letter Nun is associated with a nevuah about the Jewish people falling.
One second.
Well, not the pasuk before, but the pasuk after. Wait. Shenemar, as we find in Nevuah from Amos, Nafla lo soisif kum v'suas Yisrael. He says, she has fallen, she will never rise again, the virgin Yisrael. Besula is a word that's used throughout Tanakh, meaning the Jewish people, like so to speak, like we haven't allowed any other nation to overcome us and like to marry us, so to speak, the kind of relationship that we have with Hashem, so therefore we're described as a besula. But the point is, in other words, that he's saying that they've fallen, they're not going to get up. So therefore, David, knowing the Ruach HaKodesh, that such a pasuk is going to be said, did not want to include anything in Ashrei having to do with Nun. Now there's lots of words that begin with Nun. The Maharal actually explains, if you look at the letter Nun itself, the actual letter Nun itself, he says, represents falling in the sense every other letter has a partner that it can go with. The yud goes together with the tzaddik to make 100. The chaf goes with the pay and so forth. A nun, what do you need in order to get 100? Only another nun. So therefore, it can only rely on its own strength. It has nothing else to rely on. So it represents nefila, and therefore David didn't want to put it in Ashrei. Which the Gemara says, by the way, the Gemara Ravim Metautz Lahochi. Now in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, so in other words, Marsha explains the idea of Nun missing in Ashrei represents that the falling of the Jewish people is not a complete falling. We will eventually get up again. The Navi seems to be saying, Lois Soisif Kum, she will never get up again. But in fact, the Mad Rabba in Eretz Yisrael, Metau Tzulahachi, they read the Pasuk differently. Nafla, she has fallen, Lois Soisif Linpol Oid, but she will not continue falling. She will not fall ever again. Instead, kum, the Solas Yisrael, the Navi is saying, rise up, get up, the Solas Yisrael, you have a rising, you have a future. So by leaving out the Nun from Ashrei, represents that he's saying, that maybe the Jewish people on their own schusim don't have the ability to get up. But the Eivishter, as it continues, David did not want to put in a pasuk with nun, because that would represent nefilah, but he put in the very next pasuk, Hashem supports all those who have fallen. So in other words, David is expressing with that idea that even if the Jewish people have fallen and they lack the schusim to get up on their own, but Hashem supports them and helps us back up. So therefore, that's why it's in that order. Hakosev adds another point also that he says that's what the previous pasuk also is. Malchus chamalchus kol olamim shata chal b'chol deveder. Now what happened? This nevuah that Amos is saying nafla lo sosif kum v'solas Yisrael. Primarily, he's talking about the aseres hashvatim, who not long after this nevuah, in fact, went into Golus. You're going to think in that case, maybe it's not a Mamshal B'chol B'chol Der B'der. Hashem's kingship is not lasting eternally, because you see a large part of the nation that he's their king of has disappeared. So now we're saying, no, the nun is missing. There's no permanent nefilah. And in fact, Seymach Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, Hashem is going to support the Noflim, and after all, they are going to come back. The same Navi Amos, at the end of his Sefer, we have it as Aftorah of Achimos, says, V'shav Yeshuas Ami Yisrael, and I'll bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. So even this falling that he says that was going to happen, nevertheless, it's not a permanent falling. And that's why, to represent all of that, is why David left out the pasuk with nun and instead put in the pasuk samach, or hint that the noflim will be helped to be stood up again.
In
Ruchnius and in Gashmius, right. That's the thing. It could represent Nefilah as in that possible Nefilah, the Sosif Kum, and especially given what the Maharal was saying about that the Nun itself intrinsically represents the concept of falling. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula for Chaf Beis, what is it, Chaf Beis Elul. Now, we have there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Hashem is going to, in the future, set up another David, a future David, to rule over the Jewish people. As the pasuk says, "Va'avdu'as Hashem lekem," there's David Malcolm, Asher Okim lahem. The pasuk says they'll serve Hashem their God and David their king, whom I will set up for them. So Hakim lenama. The Gemara points out, doesn't say Hakim that Hashem set up for them previously David, that he existed in the past. Ela Okim, I will set up, implying that there's going to be a new David. So now, the problem is, there's another pasuk says, David Avdi Nasi Lahem Lailam, that David, my servant, meaning the original historical David, is going to be Nasi for them forever. So what it means is, the Rebbe explains, it doesn't mean that David himself is not going to be Melech HaMashiach, but the neshama of David HaMelech is going to be vested in Mashiach. This is similar to the way Chazal say, Goyal Rishon Hu Goyal Achron. The first Goyal, Moshe, is the Goyal Achron. Now what do you mean? Moshe is from Shevet Levi, Mashiach is from Shevet Yehuda. But it means the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu will be melubash in the neshama of Melech HaMashiach. That's how the Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains it. So therefore, by the same token, it means that David neshama will also be melubash in Mashiach. Continuing with halachas about mezuman. By him and Soyab, yeah, those are backwards nuns. Yeah, those are backwards nuns. I think there is actually an explanation that ties those together with the missing nun of Ashrei that we just talked about, but I'll have to look that up. I seem to remember that somebody draws such a connection, but I'll have to find it. Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's do a halacha quickly. If people ate together, so even if they didn't eat the whole Suda together, but they sat together and they said Hamotzi, then each one is eating from his own food, but they have a Kvius, whether 3 or whether 10, then as we said before, they can't divide up. They're supposed to make a Mezuman of 3 or 10 respectively. Even if one of them wants to finish before the other ones, they can't divide up. What you would have to do is we find Mais and Mechoyen that people do, they'll make a Mezuman, everybody will answer, and then they'll continue eating. If they weren't Kvei themselves to begin with, so you had 2 of them ate, and then a third person happened to join them. So then, if he finished his soda with them, then they're chayiv in zimun. But if he wants to finish before them, he didn't begin with them, and he's not planning to end with them either. So therefore, he can bench on his own. But still, it's a mitzvah for him to wait and do the zimun together with them. If there's an oner, so he's afraid of a hefsid, then he would be allowed to finish his soda before them and make the bracha by himself. But otherwise, you have to be machmer. This is what we talked about the other day, the letter of the Rebbe, that by weddings, for example, we often see that people break up into smaller groups because they can't make the shavu bracha by themselves. It would offend the chassan and kala and their parents, and then the whole thing that we talked about the limud schools that ever finds for that price.